Flavor Fest, what's good, family? Welcome to episode number 9. That's right, we've been doing this now every single week, dropping new content in 2023, because it's a brand new year. And so if you like the content, like, make sure you like it, make sure you subscribe to the channel. You know, I got to say all that stuff real quick. So, but hey, if you haven't heard, let me remind you, Flavor Fest is going on tour in 2023. We are going to five cities. Y'all been asking us for like 20 years to take this thing on tour. We've been like, nah, we're good. We're too busy. We're running Crossover Church. We got a lot going on, but this year, God has put it on our heart that we are doing it. We're taking on tour. It's time. Church leaders and artists and entrepreneurs and pastors and church planners and urban youth workers, nonprofit leaders, they all need some encouragement now more than ever as we're coming out of the pandemic. And so we're coming to five cities. Guess who's up first? New York City, April 22nd is going down. Then we're heading out to the left coast on May 5th and 6th. We're going to be out there for Cinco de Mayo, throwing a big concert and party with my guy Miles Minnick, Larry Acosta, and City to City LA is going to be in the building. Then we're coming back to the East Coast in June. June 10th, we're going to be in the ATL with Crossover ATL, Urban Youth Workers Institute, and then we'll be in Houston, Texas, July the 15th. And then we're coming all the way back to Tampa, our home base, and that will be November 2nd through the 4th. So that's the schedule. That's Flavor Fest for 2023. All the details are at flavorfest.org. You don't want to miss it. But today I got an incredible guest that's going to be live in the Crossover Podcast studio with me. Known this brother for a couple years. He's now been part of our church family. Recently stepped into a leadership position. A leadership position of a ministry that most churches don't have one of these. It's a ministry for entrepreneurs. Yeah, like for real. We got to talk about that. We're going to unpack that today because we're in a gig economy and there's so many people that are now gigging and people that with all the inflation are looking for other streams of income and they're starting side hustles and side businesses. And how can the church equip people like that to win? How can we help them network and give them best practices and help them level up and get them coached up? And so we're going to talk about the amazing stuff that we're doing at Crossover Church and the ecosystem that we're building and that's developing. So my guy, Devon Stokes, is about to jump in with me here in just a second. So if y'all ready, type in the chat. Let's go.
Welcome to the Flavor Fest Urban Leadership Podcast, where we talk to innovative artists, creative pastors, church planners, entrepreneurs, and people creating movements. Our goal is to inspire and equip you in ministry, music, and the marketplace. I'm your host, Tommy Urban D. Colony.
What's good, Devon? How you feeling, man?
What's going on, sir? What's going on?
Man, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah,
we here, we live, man. So we're going to do something a little different that we've never done before. And this is Devon's idea because he's just like, he's a systems guru. You're going to see that over the next couple of minutes. But we're going to also go live right now on IG. And so I'm going to go live on IG. So we're going to hit YouTube. Okay. And we're going to hit IG. What's going on, IG? Live in the studio with my guy, Devon Stokes. Yeah, I'm here on the phone. We're here on YouTube right here. So go ahead and I'll jump you in on here. And so we'll be on both. Yeah. And if you guys are on IG, if you want to come join us, we're on YouTube as well. And so there we go. Boom. Yeah. Pop this right here. You should be coming in a second. On there. All right, we got bunch of people on YouTube. There we go. Got a bunch of people right now on IG. Move this over just a little bit so y'all can see me better. Yeah, so what's good, Devon? How you feeling, man?
Feeling good.
Man, so it's been amazing to meet you, and we've connected over, like, of course, Jesus, and then entrepreneurship, and just and seeing God move in our city in new ways. But I first met you it was early 2021, And it was my guy, Shaq, that introduced us.
Yes.
And so you came by the church and you knew about the church, but I didn't know who you were. And you kind of began to share a little bit of your story.
Right.
But let's rewind just a little bit. And right at the beginning, we're coming up on almost the 3-year anniversary of when the pandemic happened for all of us.
Yeah.
But you had a much bigger pandemic and crisis that happened in your life. So let's start there, and then we can kind of build from that, bro, because this is an amazing story, man, of what God's been doing in your life.
Yeah, so 2020 was a year that I think that a lot of us want to forget for different reasons. It was a year of not going outside. You know, before cancel culture really became a thing, people were canceling family members that sneezed. I mean, if you sneeze close to us, there's anything. It was a thing. And about March, I remember we were about to, so I was married, and I remember we were about to have our child, Jacob. And it was 1 week before, we were having our child, I remember the doctors were making it a big deal about just safety precautions. And, you know, when you have a child with this pandemic, you know, what does that even look like? You know, having a child in the pandemic in the midst of it is different, right?
Yeah.
When no one could go outside.
Yeah.
So I remember that. And then, so obviously we had our baby and we thought everything was good. And it was a rough pregnancy. Man, it took, Jesus, we had the doctors tell us so many times, you know, you guys may not make it through the entire pregnancy. Do you want to, you know, abort? You know, we have, and I remember Precious was just saying, hey, this baby is a miracle baby. We're going to get through it. You know, we believe in God, and we're believers, right? Well, March 2020, we had the baby. We're like, man, it's lit. Let's go. Yep. You know, and then I remember her, you know, saying that she wasn't feeling good. She had a headache. Remember she said she had this headache on a Friday night, and we were talking, praying. And I was like, all right, well, just go to the hospital real quick. You know, no big deal. And I remember going to the, you know, you're going to the hospital and not even, probably about a few hours later, you know, they took her back, you know, and they were, you know, when you take you back, you know, sometimes you start to say, okay, what's going on? Let's call people. Let's pray. I remember different family members praying. And we were like, well, she made it through so many during, you know, instances in the hospital. This one is a light one. We already had the baby. She's good. You know, and obviously in that morning, you know, they said she passed away. So perspective is for 2020 for me, you know, having, you know, your other half pass away 1 week after you have a newborn during the pandemic is different, you know, because everything was shut down. Life was shut down.
Yeah.
Church was shut down.
And so to just try to mourn in the middle of that when you couldn't even like go see anybody and nobody could technically come see you.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even imagine, bro.
It was different. And, you know, the crazy thing about even going through that is that, you know, meeting someone like her that's so live, like you guys know someone lively in your family or your lives that's just crazy energy, always running around. So you never think like they're not going to be here. That's not a thing. That's not a thought.
Yeah.
So
especially when you're so young.
Right.
You guys
in
your early 30s, barely 30 years old. Like we got our whole life ahead of us together. And like you don't even think about stuff like that.
And as crazy as we both look young, right? I just got a half a beard last year. It's not even full yet.
He's working on it. He's getting there, man. He's got show the profile. Look at that. There's a little bit coming in.
I attend the prayer line frequently to pray for thy beard, and it was a struggle even getting this, you know. And I remember just like saying, man, you know, and the good thing is this, I have a background of faith. So that's what I had to lean on that the most. And being that both of us are believers, one thing she asked me, she said, if anything happened, just make sure you raise our children up in the Lord. That was one of the things she wanted to make sure. And man, that's what I'm here about. That's what I'm here today, man. I want to talk about some things because I'm not done yet. Still got work to do.
Man, so Devon, talk a little bit about what happened. Like before I met you in 2020, there was that tragedy.
Yeah,
that was totally unexpected. The pandemic, which was unexpected for all of us. The world shut down.
Yeah.
We were all stuck at home for a while, wondering, like, what's really going to happen? Is it ever going to get back to normal? The news was feeding all kinds of, like, fear. And everybody's, like you said, if somebody sneezed, everyone was like, oh, my gosh, you know.
Yes.
So, like, but at that same time, God, a couple of months later, started to do something new in you, and it was something that your wife actually told you to do, right before she passed.
So the day before she passed, which absolutely makes no sense. It's like a movie. So we were talking, and she was like, hey, man, you know, you should start trading. I'm like, trading? Like, you know, coming from my background, I didn't, you know, minority family, I haven't seen no one trade. You know, I haven't seen it in my family. So trading, Forex, stocks, just never was a thing. I grew up playing sports. And, you know,
ain't nobody was looking at the charts in our neighborhoods.
Like, nah.
You know, like, what is that?
That wasn't a thing. First of all, I was like, scam. Like, So she's talking about it, and she's like, she got these books. She had the books under our bed, and she's like, yeah, man, you know, you never read these books. And I was like, yeah, I never will. And the funny thing is, we talked about it, and the reason she was talking about it so adamant about it, she's like, we got to stop just working for money and eventually have money work for us.
Mm.
And so that day, I started a trading account the day before she passed away. And I promised her that I would, you know, learn trading and teach our family. And then obviously the next day, we didn't expect all that to happen. And what's crazy is I named her account. So her trading account is still active to this day. And I named her account her first name, and I named it Precious Legacy. Didn't understand that the next day we would be still, you know, fulfilling that. So it is actually just, you know, it is like a movie, man. I don't know, Disney, whatever. It's something like, hey, we out here, by the way. No, I'm joking. But no, seriously, dude. It's it just, her story is something that I continuously share because it was so powerful and the impact she's had on my life. You know, and with the trading has become a movement. And, you know, it's something where it's a vision from God. When it doesn't serve you, it serves everybody else. When it's something that's so powerful, where it's like, man, it's something that's where people are drawn towards it, and it's positive and it impacts them. So when I started trading, I just got into this just cold turkey. Didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah, tell them what happened in the beginning, because it wasn't all like, it wasn't like that at first. You know, you started messing with it, and I remember you told me, like, you ended up, like, blowing your account a couple times, and you were like, I'm done with this. I give up.
No, honestly, I felt like a bad father, because the crazy thing is, man, you know, so you can't, you know, lose your wife and then start losing money, you know, at the same time. So
that's a lot of L's.
So the enemy at that point was trying to play on my emotions big time. Going to the chart, undisciplined, trading with emotions. You know, I was up big. Y'all, I don't know if y'all ever been up big. For my traders out there, if you've ever been up big and then, you know, you don't get out, you don't use proper risk management, that was me.
Yep.
That was me.
Been there before, because I've dabbled in it with you too, and it's like, oh man, I should have got out at that point. And like,
I was trying to get that billion in a day, you know, just, you know. But here's the thing, man, no matter how much you pray, no matter how much you love God, prayer doesn't cancel management. And I'm telling
That's good.
You,
somebody type that in the chat.
Did.
Prayer doesn't cancel management.
It doesn't. I got caught slipping, and
gotta be responsible.
And I wasn't a good steward. And so what's funny is I was up, you know, a good amount of money. We don't want to do income claims on here, but a good amount of money. And I'm not talking hundreds. And what's funny is when I was up, I think I needed that pull back to really just bring back to reality. Like, hey man, you know, I know you're going through stuff, but life is still life, and you still got to work at things. You know, and I think for me, I had a good support system, and I was able to rebound off that, and then it was up from there.
Yeah. So you're good at like building teams.
Yeah.
You just have this. Also, I think your volume, turn your volume down a little bit on there. I keep hearing it. I don't want to mess with that Android phone. I don't know how to deal with Android phones. Like so, but you're good at building teams, and you have this gift that you're a leader. I would say you're a natural born leader, and people are attracted to you, and they will follow you. And so you got into trading suddenly. I mean, you used to do all kinds of other leading stuff like sports, and you create this whole like football league and, you know, kickball league. And so people will follow you. And I know there's a lot of leaders that are watching this. And so when you have that gift of leadership, like, man, that's a responsibility.
Yeah.
You want to make sure you're leading people in the right direction. You're giving them value.
Yeah.
You're helping them. And so you began to build a team.
Yeah.
And really, like, your whole thing was, like, not just to get them into your trading group, but to raise them up and give them, you know, mindset value, spiritual value. I know when I got introduced to you and then started coming on some of the your trading calls,
yeah.
you guys always like would start with prayer.
Yes.
You guys always would have, you know, spiritual content that you were yeah. talking about many times. Some nights you didn't yeah. even really talk about trading. You were just like no. kind of like teaching like, you know, leadership principles that were all biblically based.
Yeah.
So talk about how that team started to develop, even in 2020. Like, I think it was like that summer, it's like started to become a movement.
You know, I think that, you know, so I never thought I would be sharing, you know, things like this. First and foremost, I was always the kid in the background, just quiet. I was trying to, here's the thing. I always tried to stay in the background. I'm not a person that likes to be seen. I like to do everything that needs to be done and everything not to be seen. That's how I grew up. My granddad is old school. He's a deacon. And, you know, I just seen him always. We're just used to this serving, right? And then, you know, obviously the pandemic happens. And, you know, I started trading with a couple of my family members. And from that point, I just think that I wanted to. So at first it started off just simply I wanted to keep a promise to her that I would learn the skill of trading.
Yeah.
I didn't know I would get, you know, so good at it. And I didn't think it would happen so fast. But that's kind of how God does things. Like, he'll put you in different positions, mm-hmm. you know, so you can glorify yeah. his name. And I think that it's not that I was the smartest. I went to school for this stuff or I know everything. I simply just, like you said, I would pray before every call. I would pray after the call, win or loss. And that was tough to lose in front of your peers, man. Like, when you lose in front of your peers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you all lose money. Yeah,
yeah, especially so if you've never been on a trading call, what happens a lot of times is the traders that are on there, which might be one person or yeah. a couple of people, yeah. they're looking at the market, they're looking at the charts, they're finding some pairs to yeah. trade, and in particular, they trade generally foreign exchange, Forex.
Yeah.
So they might be like the U.S. dollar against, you know, yeah. the, you know, GDP, you know, and so they'll be doing, you know, studying that, looking at it, and they mm-hmm. tell everybody when to get in.
Right.
And then everybody jumps in and presses a button, and they're mm-hmm. trading on their money.
Yeah.
And so if their analysis of the charts wasn't, like, proper, and usually it's a three-minute trade or a five-minute trade, that's a yeah. lot of times what the team was doing, then, like, everybody can lose it. Everybody. So if there's, yeah. like, 300 people on the call and they all just did that trade, like mm-hmm. like that's a lot of weight to be like, yo, I just lost, you know, everybody potentially like mm-hmm. thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. So anyways, I'm just trying yeah. to, if you don't know about that world, that's what he's talking about with that. That's pressure when you're trading yeah. live publicly in front of other people. If you have a heart and you care about other people, which he does, you know, some people just be like, whatever. Because we've yeah. seen traders like that. They're like, just get yeah. in here, whatever, boom, boom, boom. Yes. And yeah.
And we call that, guys, that is called the spirit of dumb.
Spirit you just of dumb.
Jump off the cliff and just trade. And yeah, I mean, so I think like what he's saying in essence, guys, is that when I was trading, I didn't even realize the pressure I was dealing with. But guess what's interesting about that? Because losing your, so let's put it this way. If you lose your wife or your husband, then that is probably the most difficult thing that you can go through. Right?
Yeah.
So yeah. I didn't have any fear for trading. Trading wasn't fear mm-hmm. of the market. I'm like, man, look, you about to get slapped, right? So I was thinking to myself, like, everybody can get the smoke. Like, that point didn't really matter. I was just, when I got into the market, I didn't have a fear for any of that because I felt like I just went through the most difficult thing I could face as a man. You know, a single father at that time, I have, you know, my children, they don't have their mother. If I could make enough money to, at that time, to buy her back, I would have went in the market and did it, right? Yeah. And those things weren't realistic. So at that time, you have to say, man, you know, I looked at life different. And from that point, I would say the biggest thing when I started teaching and I leading a team, I don't think that I chose, you know, people to follow. I think people chose me to, you know, hey, I want to follow this person. I didn't say, hey, man, you guys follow. I think it was up to people to say, I want to get behind that. I can get behind that type of integrity, that type of character. Hey, yeah. that kind of spirit I can connect with. I can vibe with someone who's going to be honest, upright, and that cares about more people than just himself. And I felt like that was really the movement. We created a different environment and atmosphere where people looked at money and time different because that's all I taught on. I was, mm-hmm. So think about this, guys. So if you're on here listening, the average person, you know, if you work a job, you know, so trading, right? You know, trading is something that I feel like there's a skill that everybody should learn. It's something that's generational, right? But Let me just give you an idea. So what are the skills you learned? The movement we had back then, we had started something, I feel like, different. But our reason for starting is because we wanted to make sure everybody has time. So y'all could type time in the chat. Really why that's important is because people, when you go to work, you have to work, you work a job and it's 40 hours a week, you know, 160 hours a month, 2,000 hours a year. And when you lose, you know, a wife, a husband, your kids, you're going to look at time different forever. You'll never look at it the same. So I'm like, well, man, what can we do to for people to be able to, you know, live the life, you know, they want, or not forget just living, you know, lavish. Can you just take care of your basics, right? Mm. But then you don't have to exchange 40 hours because, man, you think about this, you know, a salary is someone else's estimate of your value. You know, it's like, hey, I think that you Say are that. Worth this for this amount of time. So mm-hmm. when I thought about it, I'm like, man, you know, most of my friends are always working, and there's nothing wrong with working, guys, but, you know, it's just not the same. So you want to get people, you know, really tapped into doing what they were put on earth to do. Most people are not doing, you know, what they were sent on earth to do. Most people are doing what they feel like they have to do to survive versus what they were sent on earth to do.
They're in survival mode.
Yeah, man. And so I wanted to get people out of that. And I feel like trading was just a good platform. And we just, and in the heart of the pandemic, people were looking for something that was positive they can get behind.
Yeah.
And then boom, we jump right in there.
Yeah. So we got introduced by Shaq. About some trading stuff. Shaq was trying to be like, hey, man, you got to meet my guy, my cousin, my mentor. Yeah. And so then, you know, you hadn't been to church in, you know, since before the pandemic started because you were actually living in another city.
Right.
And then you relocated back to Tampa where you were from,
right.
Moved in with your family.
Yep.
Your family was helping you amazing grieve family. And take yep. care of your kids, which was amazing that you had that support system.
Amazing support system.
But, you know, you hadn't been in church in over a year. And we were like, man, come through and visit. So you, I remember you first came, I think it was like March of 2021.
Yeah.
And so like, what was some of your thoughts when you first came to crossover?
We can be honest. Yeah. So first of all, I had a lot of thoughts. I was trying to break the record for being the latest church member.
He's putting himself out there on blast.
Yeah, so
he didn't even know we had worship at the church. He didn't know what worship looked like for probably about the first almost year that he came to church.
Yeah,
here,
that's
but,
true.
You know.
That's true. So I would come and I was working on this grieving thing, man. I would come and I'm like, man, church started at 11:45. I get there about close to 1. You know, and then my excuse was to leave early because, you know, I got to watch a football game. That was my excuse mentally. And I didn't even really like the Bucks like that. Let me, you know, just FYI, y'all.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a Patriot fan, so just throwing that out there. But I live in Tampa, and I'm like, man, that's my excuse. Go home early. And
I think the first service you ever came to, I remember it, bro. You came to the 8:30 service. You and Elder Rhonda, because you didn't even know if you wanted to, like, what service has the least amount of people?
Yeah.
You know, because we were all wearing masks still, and it was still a little weird. And I was like, man, 8:30 service, man, that joint. And we had all the chairs spread out. So I remember you came, and you guys were sitting, like, on the far corner. And the 8:30 service, man, was less than 100 people in there. It was small. You know, it's a big room. So everybody was, like, super spread out. But yeah, go ahead, man.
No. What's crazy about it is I would come late, and then, you know, little by little, and I sat all in the back. You can sit further back to me. I remember the, you know, y'all are, but you know how a church is, y'all. The deacons or the greeters, they're going to try to push you to the front. I'm like, nah, bro, I'm about to leave anyway. And he's like, well, you just got here. I'm like, yeah, I'm about to leave. So they're trying to, you know, get me to eat. I sat all the way in the furthest back row you can sit. And I wasn't even supposed to sit back there. Usually had a, you know, a little rope off. And
he was being rebellious.
Ducking in and I was being a little rebellious. And what's funny, though, is over coming for a while, let me tell y'all why it's so important for support systems, you know, but I'm going to give you something better. Extended support system. What is that, right? So an extended support system is people that you may be around, but you may not know them personally, right? But they can be an extension, you know, of your inner circle, right? So let me give you an example. Your church family, there's people you may pass by all the time in church, but y'all never say, hey, you know, don't do that. Because if somebody like me, you might have, at that time, you wouldn't have known that I had lost, you know, I felt like I had lost everything. You wouldn't have known that. Yeah. But yeah. talking to me, saying, what's up, dapping me, giving me a hug, you know, what that did when I would go in the lobby and different people would dap me up, say what's up, not let me get to my car without me getting passed by four or five people that's going to actually greet me. That actually did wonders for my world at that time. And then little by little, I started to get more comfortable.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, and I know you were kind of introduced to church in a way like you had also never seen before. I remember, like, in the beginning, you were just like, I remember you came to the Easter service in 2021. We did that outside so we could get everybody to kind of come back that wasn't comfortable with coming in the building. Remember all that? And so we had this big service outside, and we had, like, we did two services.
Yeah.
And, man, we had over 1,000 people come outside. We rented this big stage and LED wall. And what did we have on the roof? You remember?
So, first and foremost, let's just put this out here. I've never been to a church where, now, I grew up in some churches where the AC went out a couple times, right? You know, and then, you know, and I was a drum too, so I've been in those type of environments. But
remember, this is 2021. It was cool that year. We did it 2 years. First year was perfect.
So,
weather-wise.
The year I came in, and this is, I mean, man, we were outside. And I was like, oh, man, this is cool. You know, church outside and, you know, man, they got waters and you got chairs everywhere. This is different. Wow, I can get behind this. Until that sun came out. Now, let me tell you about this sun. It was a different type of heat that day.
This was 2022.
Was it?
Because 2021 was perfect. It was in the 60s. It was beautiful.
I don't know, man.
I mean, oh, yeah, bro. It was perfect.
I was hot and more. But yeah. the 2022 was a different type of hot.
2022, it was 88 degrees.
Like, it made you just understand.
And there was no, yeah.
It made you just really say, man, we can't.
Yeah, but we'll get to that. But talk about what happened, the good stuff. Like, well, what happened on the roof, bro? The I remember you were, like, freaking out about that.
You had people jumping on the roof, rapping, and I just never seen people rapping on a church roof. And I'm thinking to myself, like.
And we had the dance team up there, too, and a cameraman up there. So it was from the stage.
Yeah.
And then people were looking at the roof on the side. We had, like, two different stages. It was pretty cool.
And you had a whole, they had a whole production, okay? So you could tell they had a lot of meetings. They put a lot of thought into this. I've never seen people jumping on a roof. First of all, I didn't even know how they got up there. I still don't understand how they got up there. But I just never seen church like that. But what I could appreciate about it was, this was, you know, the crossover puts on things to be creative, you know, and bring Jesus and bring the word of God in different ways where different people can relate and make it fun, right? Church is not meant to be, you know, listen, my born and your born may be different, right? Whatever that is to you, right? But I like the fact that we get to have fun because we should be able to praise God and have a good time.
Yeah, absolutely. So 2021 went amazing at the outdoor service. It was the very beginning of April. And we had a cool weekend in Florida.
Yeah.
I think it only got up to like 70 that day. So most of the service was in its 60s. It was perfect. A lot of people even had a jacket on. Mm-hmm. But so many people came back to church for the first time.
It is.
So then as 2021 went on, the pandemic started. It went through some ups and downs, right? And then it seemed like it was finally getting better in the fall. But then Omicron happened, like at the Christmas 2021 into beginning of 2022, if y'all remember. And like...
Yeah.
More people were sick than ever. Not as sick, thank God, but a lot of people were getting COVID. And so we were just like, man, like we had to make the decision in January for April to be able to rent the stage, rent the LED wall. We had to reserve all those like extra things, this guy that was going to do the sound system. So it was like the middle to the end of January.
Yeah.
And church attendance was down because so many people were at home and quarantining. And so we were just like, yo, we need to do it outside again. You know, I know it's a couple weeks later in April. Hopefully the weather will be okay. But, you know, we need to do it outside because everybody's not going to want to be in the building, like, all packed up together. But the crazy thing was, like, it got better so fast. Mm-hmm. And by, like, February, March, like, everything just in Florida, at least, was, like, disappeared, gone. And, you know, like, by that time, everybody was starting to come back, comfortable to be around. Masks, hardly anybody was starting to wear a mask anymore, and it was just like almost getting back to normal. And then we're like, we're doing this outdoor service so everyone can be safe. Everyone's like, it's fine already. And it was like 88 degrees that day. And in our parking lot, there's no shade. Mm-hmm. You are on a big asphalt parking lot, and the sun is just beaming down. So that was the shortest sermon I ever preached. It was about 22 minutes long.
Man. And you rap that day too?
I did, and everybody, we were all wearing white, man. And that helped a little bit, but still, it was hot. Service was less than an hour long.
It was literally lit. It was lit.
And the kids were inside, so we made a decision, Devon, we are never doing an outdoor service like that again. It's just too risky. It could be hot. It could rain.
We heard from God.
Yes, we heard from God. So this year for Easter, we're adding a service. And so we're going to be going up to three services that we're going to do that day.
Man.
And we're going to add a bunch of chairs, have an overflow area. We're going to be ready inside in the AC. In the AC, bro.
I like that part.
Yes.
Don't look at that part. You should put that on a flyer. In the AC. People need to know.
AC included.
AC included. That's important.
So, all right, let's shift gears a little bit. And so you've been into trading, and that's not the only thing you do, though. You run a couple of companies. And so you're an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And the trading is almost like, to me, I almost look at it like it's something you just enjoy doing. It's almost like a hobby.
Yeah.
And you build a team around it and love it.
Yeah.
But that's not even like your main thing that you do. So, like, briefly, talk a little bit about some of the other business ventures and things that God has put in your path and you've developed.
So last time I worked the job was a long time ago. I was in my early 20s. I'm 34 now. I know I don't look. I don't look. I'm 17. Psh, I know. So, but no, seriously though, I would think I was in 21, 22 years old. And I think back then something just hit me. It's like a moment where I was like, okay, I've been working here, working so hard, but I still don't feel fulfilled. So I don't know if you guys have ever work somewhere, but you don't feel like whole, fulfilled, and it's not like I just didn't have a passion to see myself doing that long term. So, give you an example, right? You know, I was making good money at that age, early 20s, man, 10, 12 years ago, making like $23, $24 an hour. I thought I was doing it. And I was like, yeah, man, I got my little car.
Yeah,
I got
for Tampa, that was good money back then. Yeah, that wasn't bad, then? Especially for somebody that age. Like, you were crushing it.
And I was working overtime. Like, I didn't go home. I was like, home? I would stay to work all day. Funny thing about that, though, is, so I listened to Miles Monroe, guys. If you don't listen to him, if you don't know who that is.
Shout out to the late Dr. Miles from the Bahamas.
Yes. Listen, one of the quotes that I love about Miles is that he said, man, your job is what they pay you to do, and your work is what you are born to do.
Mm.
In perspective for me, that just meant something different. I was like, wow. So if you think about this, you know, working a job is not bad, but I don't think it's forever. It's not your long term, right?
Yeah.
You work there, you learn things. It's what I call an entrepreneur phase, right? You're mm-hmm. learning the ins and out of a business, but you don't own that business. But remember this, a job is great, but you don't. So remember this, you can't leave that job behind. You know, when you leave this earth, and I started thinking about legacy in my early 20s. I was like, man, the Bible says, a good man leaves an inheritance for their children's children.
Mm-hmm.
And my job can't be left. So I need to think bigger. You know, I need to build. I need a bigger boat, right? What I'm in right now is just not. This cap is a little too small. And I started thinking, like, you know what? So I started a staffing agency back then. Staffing agency, moving up staffing. And I remember my first contract. I totally blew it. I blew that thing so bad. Got this $500,000 contract, and in my first 30 days, 60 days, whatever it was, we totally jacked that up. And I remember I was down and saying, man, you know, maybe I got to go back to work, right? And I think for me, because I started a faith-based business, I got tested really quick on that, you know. Because, mm-hmm. You know, I always hear people talk about the word temptation. Temptation's not a bad word. Temptation really means it just is really like, it just tests to see, like, it validates, you know, what you believe in, right? So I think with me, I found out really quick, if I really want to be an entrepreneur, it's going to take more than just me just doing all this, you know, come to church. It's going to take belief outside the four walls. It's going to take me really.
It's going to take work.
It's going to take some work, man.
Yeah.
And that first year, man, we were, you know, I don't know if we can say this, but trash. Absolutely trash.
Be honest, that's good.
Trash. But I think what I appreciate about that groundwork, that foundation, is made us who we are now. We needed to go through those tough times. We started that staffing agency. We turned into a property management company. We have four of the largest contracts in the United States. That's nothing to even, you know, man, I remember just praying one day we get one contract. We went through all of these different people, and I'm just letting you guys know, you know, it does get better. You know, it does get better. So we now, when it comes to property management, you know, we're in 11 states. We were just in one city. We were really in one neighborhood, just a truck. And, you know, guys, I've had my car repoed. I have my phone off. I've been evicted back then, you know, believing in this vision. So the things that you see now, they didn't come. They weren't just given. It was a lot of hard work put into this. There was nights where I slept on my floor in my office, just praying, like, Lord, I don't have enough gas money to get home. How are you going to? Yeah, I thought we were this face stuff doesn't really work, right? I remember my staff didn't have, I didn't have enough money to pay them, so I pretend like I ate and then give them my last dollar and then buy everybody KFC and Wendy's. Wendy's was like our plug. Adam, I met someone, it was like, they would give us a few extra nuggets.
You still like Wendy's, bro. You asked me today before this podcast, I'm dropping by Wendy's. You want some?
Pray for me.
And I was like, nah, bro, I mean, no offense, but I'm not trying to eat the fast food stuff anymore, man. Trying to be healthy.
Hey, pray for me, man.
Pray for him, man. Get off those Wendy's burgers and fries.
When Jesus departed, went back to the heavens, he stopped at Wendy's before he got there. I'm just throwing that out there. And it was crazy is I remember just trying to share all these things, and we didn't really have much. But it's so amazing to see God, you know, bless your faithfulness, you know, and when you can be unselfish and you can have a selfless posture, man, he does wonders for you. My prayers begin to be go not about receiving, but what can I give? What can I offer? And I feel like if God can trust you, you have this business plan out there, you have all these ideas. Listen, I'm with you, but start praying. So we always pray for resources we can get, but think about resources that you can share. Pray it that way.
Yeah.
Change up your posture. That's how good. You pray, right? I was thinking about, man, Lord, I want all these things, but then it's like, no. Lord, what can we get for your people? What can we get? What needs can we meet? Guys, you want to become rich and wealthy? Think about what problems do people have, and then you pray for God for ideas and solutions to help solve them. Yeah. Your wealth is in what you solve, okay? Not so much in what you do, but what you solve. People fire you for problems you create, right? They hire you for problems that you solve.
So you've been like a systems genius.
Yeah.
That's a way that God has really gifted you. And like you said, you thanks for being honest, man.
Yeah.
Great leaders are honest and talk about their failures because we all fail. We all mess up. You know, I know we live in this social media world where we only show the good moments, the highlights.
Yeah.
Highlight
culture.
Yes.
Yep, that's the thing.
But we got to talk more about the moments that were the low moments and
yeah.
the failure moments and when we made mistakes or, you know, we overestimated or underestimated.
Man.
And, you know, and so, but you, through all the L's you took, through the lessons.
Yeah.
You started to create systems and you learn from that. And that's a problem. A lot of people don't learn from their mistakes.
Yeah.
They just quit or they keep doing the same type of stuff, you know, and they just tweak it a little bit, but it's still going to have the same result. But you made some radical shifts and you began to create systems. And so talk a little bit about your passion for systems. I know you've talked to me about that many times. So you could be here and do this podcast, but you have 7 companies that are running right now.
Yeah.
And because you put in the work to build the systems.
Yeah. So if you were to say, hey, y'all, you know, how do you really build legacy, right? If you were to ask me straight up, Devon, so if I was to leave this earth today, now I'm not trying to go anywhere. I feel like I got another 300 years, Pastor, but let's say, God forbid, I have built things that will outlast me. I've built things that will outlast my children. That's the topic that most people don't like to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, I'm real big on people, you know, I think, insurance is one thing, right? Insurance is like immediate, right? You know, something happens to someone says, man, I have insurance to help my family, right? But when the insurance money runs out, then you're in trouble because you don't have a system machine that's backing it.
Mm.
And I think that sometimes we just get caught up in money doesn't mean nothing when it's in the hands of a poor manager.
Yep.
All right?
That's
and
right.
Your system can help, you know, this, I don't know if this is a word, but uncomplicate things that shouldn't be complicated, right? Because what happens with people when they get money? Their emotions get tied into it. Or, you know, what happens when you do get a big business? You're like, oh, I made it. Systems keeps you humble because the systems don't need you. Now, most people, when you struggle with the ideology is you want to be wanted, you struggle with affirmation, you struggle with the need of approval, you build your business around the need of you. But when the people that understand true wealth, they build systems that don't need them. So when they, so let me give you an example, right? I told my friend, I was like, man, I want to, you know, I'm building this. I remember I got sick, you know, so we had these companies. We're up to 7 franchises now. We started with one. I remember back in the day, man, we had one, we just had one franchise. And when I got sick, Pastor, you know, the company took a hit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dang, man, you know, we ain't made no money this week, man. You know,
because so, a lot of the systems revolve just around you.
Around
you got to learn to delegate, empower, all that stuff, train others to do what you do.
So I had to learn to become an outlet versus a plug.
Mm.
So a lot of people, you want to be the plug. We take you out, though, the business dies. There goes all the power.
Ooh, that's good.
Right? So I had to learn to become an outlet and infuse power into others. So this is one of the things where I'm like, man, you know what? If I could get this concept in one industry, then all I have to do is just duplicate it in another. And so I don't spend my day on working. I spend my day on planning. I'll tell mm-hmm. you right now, guys, if you find somebody that plans a lot and works a lot, the person that plans a lot will be, think about this concept. Years from now, they will be either planning more stuff but not working, or just not working, not planning. The person that was working will eventually have to lean on planning. Why? Because they've always been working. Guys, planning, I'm telling you right now, is the name of the game. I will give you another example. Most people want to be a business owner, and I shout out to all the business owners out there, but mm-hmm. a business owner doesn't mean that you're really a business owner. If you, give me an example, y'all. If we take you out your business right now and your business dies or it starts to, you know, dwindle, then let's just be honest. You don't own the business owns you.
Woo.
And remember this, you don't own nothing that you cannot monitor. If it cannot be monitored, you don't own it. And if you cannot monitor it, then that means it cannot be passed down.
Mm.
So in the casket, you know, on the day that you transition, people will have to what? Go try to fight you. And Miles Musk talks about this. That baton that you was holding in the casket, they would have to try to pull it from you because you never let it go. Guys, I've seen it happen in business. I've seen it happen in church. How many times you see a church, a pastor, he passed away, the church dies. We don't know why.
Yep.
Because he didn't believe in planning ahead of him or beyond him.
Mm-hmm.
And he built it around just him. That's why the church can't go nowhere. And guys, I'm just giving you these examples because I want you to just think about this as you're saying, hey, I got these ideas. I want to start something. I don't want you to get so caught up in just starting. That's great. I want you to think about this. Start the business, work the business, become it, document everything, right? And then I want you to try to learn how to monitor it, because if you can monitor it, you can pass it down.
That's good. Systems. That's good for business. It's good for ministry.
Yep.
It's good for church, good for nonprofit, for profit. Yep. That have systems and all those things. And I had to learn that as an artist over the years, because when Crossover first began to take off and grow 20 plus years ago, here I was, a hip hop artist. I'm free flowing, spirited, and I had some systems, but a lot of stuff did revolve around me. I was the only one that worked at the church, and I was really like a glorified volunteer because my music was paying for me to be there. But as we began to grow, like, it was unsustainable for me to be the only one there. And then we started to have a little bit of resources, so we began to hire some people. And my wife was one of the first hires, and she's an administrator. She's opposite of me. I'm the artist. She's the administrator, the planner. Everything is, you know, and I have a side of me that has some of that. But so we had this wrestle that I had to learn, man, we gotta put systems in place. But at the same time, it was this tension of, like, but we don't want to stifle this creative, free-flowing, Holy Spirit-filled thing that's happening. We don't want it to get too corporate or too, like, mega church, but, you know, we want it to still. Yeah. And so, it's been that tension, but Crossover has grown to the point that it is, because we have lots of systems in place. Flavor Fest is going to 5 cities this year.
Nice.
Because we have systems in place. That's we have a team. Just one person that does it.
Yeah.
It's a whole team of people, and we're delegated to do different things, work together as a team, come together, meet, you know, talk about stuff, work through problems, come up with new solutions, all those things. So so the last couple of years, as Devon started coming to church, a lot of new people started coming as well after the pandemic. A lot of new people moved to our city, and a lot of them happened to be entrepreneurs and business people.
Let's talk about it.
And let's talk about that, because our church now 3 years ago, we're at the very beginning of March. The pandemic hadn't quite started yet.
Yeah.
Starts in about 2 weeks. We have that anniversary, right? Mm-hmm. It's like the middle of March. But 3 years ago at this time, our church was smaller than it is right now.
Yeah.
Like, think about that for a minute. I mean, like, I don't know what the percentage is, but I'd probably argue and say probably about 95 to 98% of churches are still not back to where they were before. Most pastors I talk to, their churches are still, you know, maybe only at two-thirds of where they were.
Yeah.
Some only at 50% of where they were.
Yeah.
In 2022, we actually got back to where we were, and by the fall began to pass it. So right now, we have more people that are attending church in person than we did before the pandemic.
Yeah,
it's
good.
This amazing thing that's taking place. And a lot of those people that are jumping in at Crossover are entrepreneurs or people that are aspiring entrepreneurs. And so we started to do some events during the pandemic when we were still not in person as much or just a little bit.
Yeah.
We were doing Zoom calls, you know, for entrepreneurs and business owners.
Yeah.
Devon was on several of those. I had him share on some of them. And then when we started to come back and do more stuff in person, we did a couple breakfasts, some innovation breakfast in 2021, later in the year. And then in 2022, we did the Innovation Summit, this gathering for business leaders. Had a couple hundred business leaders come from the whole city. We invited everybody to come in. And then so it just got to the point where I was like, man, this is developing and becoming its own ministry, its own thing. And I kind of spearheaded it with some of the entrepreneurs. But I'm like, man, I'm going to delegate, empower somebody, pass the baton.
Yeah.
And still be by the side to help whenever I can and pour in, but to let somebody else take it and take that vision to the next level. So Devon officially became the leader of the Crossover Entrepreneur Ministry in December of 2022.
Yeah.
And we announced that at a lunch. We had 100 entrepreneurs show up at a lunch after our second service. It was amazing. Yeah. And then we recently did a breakfast, had about 100 people come to that as well. So, Devon, for the last couple minutes today, share a little bit about the ministry and the name, because we got a name now, and I love the name, bro. You came up with the name, and I'm like, that's it. That's the one. And so talk about it and where it's going and some of the vision that God's given you, man. I'm excited, man. I'm amped.
First, before I do that, y'all, can I? This is my first podcast I've actually done. Can we actually press a button on here? I just want to see a button. Can we press a podcast button?
I forgot about that, man. We were so in the conversation. Give it up for Devon Stokes.
Yes. So let me just say this, man. I see that's Millie over there. Millie Mills out there. Shout out to Millie, man. She's one of the baddest educators in the game. I will tell y'all right now, as far as Forex, when it comes to ministry, if your business doesn't have some type of attachment to ministry, listen to me, okay? When you're building any ministry, it has to glorify God in some type of way. When I say it has to, think about why you were created, right? You weren't created to just do whatever, right? We were created to, you know, praise God, right? Love our God, right? You know, when you multiply and make disciples, it's still centered around how are we bringing people back to God? The first love, right? And so all these things that we create, sometimes we get caught up in creating things that have more to do with our ideology. It have more to do with our desires, right? If you really think about the business, if it's some way centered around, you know, God, and he's the focal, then, so we'll be like, Lord, bless this, bless that. Mm. But it's like, remember this, don't be distracted. I got a book coming out. Let me just throw that out.
Come on,
really
man, talk about that book.
So look, I have a book coming out.
I'm going to hold him accountable. He's going to get that thing out this year, baby.
God funds vision, not distractions.
Yes.
And I think that sometimes we get distracted. It is okay. I have been there. Sometimes you'll say, hey, man, you know, listen, distractions could be your significant other. Distractions could be just things that intertwine or get in the way of you praising God, you making disciples, because that's what we really are here to do. Now, let me just give y'all something really quick. For all my people that are dating, because I'm going to tie it into this ministry. So if you're single, you're married, this is what I believe this entrepreneurship ministry is going to really be. It's going to be a takeover. So check this out. The first thing God gave before he gave woman to man was vision. But oftentimes we get so caught up in everything else. But what God sent you to do, think about you being wrapped with a gift in a male body or a woman's suit. And then before he sent you off to the earth, he's like, listen, you're going to take care of this particular, you know, you're going to take care of these problems, right? You're going to solve these problems on earth. So I'm going to put you in, I'm going to wrap these solutions inside of you, and then I'm going to ship you off to this family in this timeline. And then you're supposed to what? Deliver that stuff to us. So what you were carrying, you owe that to us. And it's interesting, sometimes we get caught up in forgetting that your gift is not for you. Your gift is for what? Everybody else. And remember this. You know how they say, oh, man, you know, your gift will take care of you. It will bring you forward great men, all that stuff. But guess what? Your gift is supposed to bring you for other people to help solve problems.
That's right.
Not create them. And I think that this particular ministry, man, listen, y'all. Vision is the most important thing you will ever experience on earth. It's the most important. It is your lifeline. It is the thing that keeps you going. Goals are just tasked with a deadline. They are gas money for the vision to keep it going. But goals stop. If you hit a goal, notice you got to make a new one. You ever thought about that? So vision does not stop. It's ongoing. Vision will be here when you leave this earth.
Yeah.
If everything stops.
He's getting excited now. Look at him.
Yeah, because if everything stops when you leave this earth, then that means you did nothing but hit a goal. You did never activated vision. Vision should be still impacting people and doing things and solving things when you leave. And this is when you know you deliver something for the earth, right? And I think that if you think about your life, you the earth is better because you're here. That is a fact. You know, now, if you say that, man, I don't feel like that, that's because you don't, and you have not activated your superpower, what you were sent here to do, right?
Yes.
And that's what you got to find out. What are you passionate about? What can you do that takes little to no effort, right? If we gave you all the money on earth right now, Pastor, we gave everybody all the money on earth, what would you solve? Not what would you buy?
Yep.
Think about that. So a lot of people say, man, you know what? I want to get this, but it's like, oh my God. Well, the people that's operating the vision says, man, I want to solve that. That's the difference. All right. Guys, does that make sense? Y'all can drop sevens in the chat. That's like a
that's
hand
good,
clap.
That's good. That's good.
You know, yeah, that's a virtual hand clap. Does that make sense? And which brings us to this new ministry. We got started at Crossover.
Tell them the name. Come on. Give us a drum roll.
Listen, man. All right, man. So we got this new ministry. We got started. And guys, this is not just for our church. This is going to be something that we're going to be traveling, going to go on tour with. Got five cities. You know, get behind.
He's coming to Flavor Fest.
Yes.
He's coming. That's why he's on this podcast. He's coming to every city to do a workshop. So if you're in one of those other cities, you can meet this guy in person.
You're
chop it up with him.
You're going to get game. You're going to get a lot of sauce. Yeah, y'all can type sauce in the chat. Like, you're going to get a lot of sauce. So at this point, Pastor, I don't even think they understand. The ministry is called Crossoverpreneur. Crossoverpreneur. Now, let me break it down
to you.
So I remember we have this movement. You were talking about the trading team. And the trading team we have started, you know, at first we had this name, and then we changed it to, you know, hashtag 1000 banks. And we want to teach people how to discover themselves and become their own bank. And it was funny, you know, it's interesting. When I came to, this is what I want you guys to understand. Coming to Crossover, you know, things that I have aligned in my life and God has for me, you know, I was able to connect with a church and a ministry, you know, and a leader, you know, that has similar things. You know, as far as what they're striving to is when it comes to solving problems and meeting people, meeting the needs of people. And one of my, I believe my superpower gifts is I can help create, you know, I'm a creator, you know, I help build systems, right? So to speak. And I feel like that's one of my superpowers. Well, in when it comes to entrepreneurship, you know, the Crossover ministry is going to be something different. First of all, I don't think nothing's ever been done like this. The concept of it, you know, it's going to be, this something that is something that everybody can relate to and everybody can get behind. Let me break it down. Most people are in one of these categories. You're either jobless, right? You're looking, you're searching. You're like, man, I'm trying to figure this out, right? Or you are in the entrepreneur stage. What does that mean? Entrepreneur is someone that's a skilled, valued employee, right? You know, skilled, valued employee means that you are on time. You know, you do the things that's necessary. You're in compliance at your particular job.
Yeah.
You're looking to, you're either in upper management or you're striving for upper management. You're not late. You're not taking smoke breaks and you don't smoke. I mean, that's crazy. Like, you're not doing all that. You're a skill value, you know, asset to that company, right? But you're not the owner. You don't have the responsibility to be the blame person. An entrepreneur is somebody who actually has the responsibility of the company. So really, you're someone searching, or you're our current entrepreneur or current entrepreneur, right? So let me break it down really quick. We want to be able to show people in the body of Christ, how do you cross over? How do you go from entrepreneur to entrepreneur? What does that even look like?
Yeah, yeah.
Where's that in the Bible? All right, who do I talk to? Do I go talk to the deacon in the back? You know, do I talk to the ushers? You know, do I the guy that's over the, you know, the people that's over marriage ministry or the sound ministry, like, do I holler at them? Who do I even talk to in the body of Christ? Who can relate to the problems I have when I don't have no money for my business and I'm trying to figure it out? You know, what happens when I want to give up and quit on these dreams I've been having? But I'm like, man, God, I'm tired of these dreams, man. These bills is real. What do I go to in the body of Christ? Guess what? About to start something right now that I believe that's going to take off, take flight. You know, this sauce is going to be dropped over everywhere. Everywhere. Yeah. We're going to sprinkle a little bit of this everywhere.
Yeah, so, man, I'm excited about it because you're creating an ecosystem with people that are the entrepreneurs, with people that are the entrepreneurs, and people that are really not just an entrepreneur but are like a business owner that's doing really well in that space, so people could get connected with someone that's already been in that beginning phase, but now, like, they're really being successful at it.
That's right.
And no matter what space you're in, even a ministry space, I have some mentors and people that I connect with that are many steps ahead of me, and that helps me get better. I'm learning from them. I can go to them and ask them questions about, hey, what do you do when this happens? Or have you ever, you know, experienced this hurdle? Like, what did you do? And because I don't have the tools in my tool belt for that right now, but they do.
Yeah.
Because they've done it and they've, you know, conquered it. So in the same way, you know, in the business world, you know, we're trying to create this ecosystem. So talk about a couple of those different areas real quick of like some of the different people and the way we're setting everything up.
You know, I had a young lady in the lobby ask me, she was like straight up, man, she's like, hey, man, I don't know what to do. I don't have any answers. I don't know where to start. I said, well, hang around people who got started.
Yeah.
And then when she was like, well, what, you know, I'm like, hang around people that have answers. I mean, I want you to just think about this, guys. You know how they say bad company in the Bible corrupts good morals? What does good company do?
Yep.
I mean, you ever thought about that? Well, why not just hang around good company?
Yep. It can just. Right?
I think that's a great idea. That's can we press the button? What button we press really quick? Da-da-da. Oh, you got to press it. Press it now. Press it.
It's not working. It's not working.
The button. Oh, there we go. We got something. The thing is, guys, though, it's like, hey, get excited about, you know, hey, man, you know what? I know some of you guys are from different parts of the cities and different parts of the state, you know, across the United States, but, you know, get connected with us. We want to connect. You know, this is the body of Christ. This isn't the Tampa of Christ, right? The Tampa, Florida of Christ. This isn't the neighborhood, right? And get connected with us, right? Follow us on social media and ask us questions. We want to be able to get connected with your church. I'm so sick of where it's like we drive by all these different churches, but we're not connected. We're disconnected. And let me tell you something. All the gifts in the body of Christ are supposed to be for what? To be shared, not to be kept the best kept. It's not supposed to be the best kept secret. How in the world do we not have the most businesses? That's do we not have, you know, the most shared products, the most shared information? You know, we're in the age of we're going to charge everybody for everything, right? My God. You know, but here's the thing, man. I tell you right now, guys, if you think about this, think about the value you give. Think about focus on the value, focus on sharing, focus on just loving on people. And I'm telling you right now, man, people will pay you for these things, but you won't even have to worry about charge because people are going to become looking for your solution that can solve their problem. Let me go back to this ministry. Yeah. Business consulting, coaching. You know, we have marketing we're going to be, rolling out. People are saying, hey, man, I'm trying to figure out how to brand my company. You know, We got people, man. People are trying to figure out about investing. Man, I got educators that have hopped on this call that, man, I know they all love the Lord. They all like to share. Yep. People who have taught hundreds of thousands of students. People are going to be giving you game. Real estate, man. You got people out there. Man, you got Michelle, Betsy. I don't want to forget my boy X. You know, marketing. You got people out there like Travis, you know, Jay. There's so many different people that you may not know, but guess what? They want to get to know you.
Yeah. And then we got some OGs as well that are here at the church.
Charles,
and that are plugged in.
Bob. Yeah. Oh, man.
Sam.
Sam. Yeah. You just got so many people, y'all, and the value is just unlimited. There is no limit when it comes to God. Value is unlimited. What can he download in your spirit tonight that can be that can help the rest of the world tomorrow? And, you know, do you believe in our God that much? Let me just leave with this. I got to say this really quick. Think about this prayer tonight when we end this call. We talked about a lot of good stuff, Pastor, but I want to leave you guys with this. If you pray for all these things, and I love prayer, but what if you're praying for all these things and God's looking at you like, man, you know what? I want to get this to you in your hands, but can I trust it to get through your hands? And yep. Can I just say this? Y'all type in the chat called stuck prayers.
Yep.
This is what happens. It's like we're praying for beyond our management or our ability to manage. Man, focus on managing what you have right now. Is your room clean? Is your car kept up? Mm-hmm. You know, do you brush your teeth when you wake up? The simple things in life. Are you an on-time person? Because would God want to trust you with causing casualty to his babies? Think about it. Hold on.
That's good.
Bars. All right. Bars.
Yeah, we're not called to be a reservoir. We're called stuck to be prayers. A pipeline.
Be careful out there.
So, speaking of prayers, Devon, why don't you close us out and pray for all the leaders on this call, all the entrepreneurs, all the artists.
Yes.
Just pray a prayer of blessing on them, man.
Man, I'm excited. Let me pray your heart real quick, y'all. Lord, we say thank you for the day. Thank you for life, health, and strength. Lord, I'm so excited about what God is doing in this ministry. And not just in this ministry, Lord God, but in the body of Christ. Father, yes, we got God. Different people connected on this line, and we're able to talk about ministry and just loving on your people, Father, doing for them, meeting practical needs, Father, solving problems together. Most important, let me say that again, together, not watching from afar, no, but getting involved, engaging, Father, and then showing the enemy, Father, Lord God, that, you know, for you have not given us a spirit of fear.
That's right.
Man, we are confident. Man, you said where two or more are gathered in your name, you're going to show up and be in the midst. You're going to pull up, Jesus, and be in the atmosphere.
Woo.
Man, I'm just excited, Father, about what you're doing. And I'm thinking, Lord God, I'm thinking this is going to just really multiply this year. When we go to these different cities and see these different things that are going on and connect with different people, with different gifts, different mindsets, Father. People that just want to do more. People that just want to love more. People that just want to just, Father, Lord God, just bless your name. And Father, can we just say thank you, Lord God, for being alive.
Thank
you, Lord, we've been through, man, 2020, if it taught us anything, let's be thankful for our time. Let's be thankful for the loved ones that we have. Lord, and I thank you right now, Lord God, for everything you're doing. I pray today is one of the most fruitful and productive days that all of us will ever have. And Father, we just pray these prayers, and we believe that you heard our cry, God.
Yeah.
Lord, we're not praying, just be praying. We're praying, Lord God, believing, Lord God, right now in the name of Jesus. Things are manifesting right now on our behalf.
Yes.
Right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Lord, we are praying for the angels that protect everybody on this call. Lord, I pray that you protect the angels, Lord God, that you have protected them. Lord, we're just believing, Lord God, that our God can do anything.
Yeah.
And Lord, we love you, Father. We magnify your name. We pray these prayers in your son Jesus' name. Everybody in the chat, say
amen.
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 Let's go.
Come on, make some noise for Devon Stokes one time. Make some noise for him. There we go.
It's working now. It's working now.
We got
it's
it. Well, hey, Devon is going to be at every city on the Flavor Fest tour. So those of you guys that are planning on coming to New York, if you're coming to L.A., if you're coming to Atlanta, to Houston, if you're coming to our home base right here
in Tampa, Florida,
Crossover, he's going to be doing a workshop. If you go to flavorfest.org, you can see the cities, the dates. You can register. If you are an artist, I want to remind you, artist submission is only open for Tampa until March the 15th. And so you click on the workshops for New York, you're going to see this guy's face. He's going to be doing a workshop on entrepreneurship. And the Innovation Summit is coming May 20th. And so innovationsummit.info is the website that's going to be launching in the next couple weeks. We got a lot of exciting stuff coming up. So tap in, stay connected, family, flavorfest.org. We're going to see you on the next podcast. We out.
Let's go.
Thanks for tuning into the Flavor Fest Urban Leadership Podcast. Stay connected with us on social media at UrbanD813 and at Flavor Fest. We'll talk to you guys next week. Peace and God bless.